Mabel Louise is here in the studio, so what more could we ask for?
Oh, hi. Good thank you. And a good morning to you. I hope you're enjoying these beautiful summer days. But you know what? We need a nice, gentle, all-night rain in our area. The gardens are really dry. Say, do you remember that cute little song that we used to sing around Christmas time? It was entitled, All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. Remember that? Well, okay, if you could see me now, you'd have a big laugh. For I was eating corn on the cob on Saturday night dinner, and one of my front teeth broke right off and landed in my plate. Well, fortunately, I was able to see the dentist on Monday morning, and so she's making a partial for me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, dear, that's what you get when you are a senior. I'm not complaining, for you know what? It could always have been something far worse. Well, for fun, I was thinking, is there anything that I can remember in the Bible that talks about a tooth? Yes, I remembered quite right away about in the Old Testament, it talks about an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You remember that, don't you? In other words, if you hit someone in the eye, then you can hit the guy that hit you in their eye. And so the tooth is the same. If you hit someone with a tooth and knock it out, then you can knock the other guy's tooth out. But you know what? I found a good one for my verse for the day. Here it is, Proverbs 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. How about that? Yes, it would be hard to have confidence in whatever an unfaithful man would say. And it would be like a broken tooth. Well, today I want to continue on with a message from the many parables in the Bible. Did you know that there are 113 parables in the Bible? Now that's a lot. There are 58 in the Old Testament and 55 in the New. No, don't worry. I'm not going to cover them all, but stay tuned today at least, and I'll share with you the parable of the pearl of great price. And that's found over in Matthew 13. The Bible says that Jesus went into the house and the disciples followed him. And remember in the New Testament that Jesus lived in Capernaum. That was really his headquarters. And part of the time he lived with Peter. So I have a sneaky suspicion that this might have been where they were all meeting. And that would have been the 12 disciples and Jesus. And it was then that the disciples asked Jesus to explain the meaning of the parable of the wheat and the tares. And following the explanation, Jesus then proceeded to teach the parable of the hidden treasure. And in this parable, Jesus was depicting the value of the kingdom to one who accidentally finds it. For instance, the Apostle Paul was willing to give up all in his life in order to lay hold of the treasure of the kingdom. You remember the thief on the cross when he said, Lord, allow me to be with you in thy kingdom. In other words, heaven. Yes. So what do you mean when you say the value of the kingdom? Well, Paul meant that he was rescued from the power of Satan. greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. That's found over in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And that's a good one to use when you are tempted and Satan is trying to get you to do something. And you can say, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. That's right. Well, then Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So Paul also meant that he could now have peace and joy in the Lord. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, food, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Paul also knew that the kingdom was unshakable. Hebrews 12:28 says, wherefore we, receiving as a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God with reverence and godly fear. Paul was rejoicing, for he knew his destination was heaven. Matthew 13:43 says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Then Jesus followed the parable of the hidden treasure with another parable entitled The Parable of the Pearl of Great Price. And that's what I want to talk about today. Not very long in the book. I'll have my Bible open in front of me and I'll just read it to you from the New International Version. Here's what it says. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought that pearl. So that is short and sweet, but to the point. And then, referring to the kingdom again as hidden treasure, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, the best, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So apparently in Bible times, women like to wear pearls. I don't know if there's any spot in the scriptures that tell us that, but it's evident that if Jesus used this subject of pearls as a parable, it was something familiar with everyone. And it's interesting how in Bible times they would have had to dive for the pearls. As I understand it, the last place in the world where they would dive in the ocean for pearls would have been in the Philippines. And the reason I know that is because I knew missionaries that lived in the area where they would dive. and they so happened to lead one of the merchants who sold pearls to Jesus. And he gave her a pearl all set in a ring. So that's how I know a little bit more about pearls. So first, let's look at the details of this parable. There's a merchant who is searching for beautiful pearls. Maybe he's getting it for his wife. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, he finds one pearl of great price, and so he sells all he has to so he can buy it. Apparently, it was so beautiful that he was not shaken by the high price, for he spent all that he had to purchase it. Here again, the Holy Spirit is teaching us the value of heaven, of the kingdom of God, the fact that it is worth everything. It sounds like the merchant was on a mission. He believes there is something out there worth looking for, or he would not have been busy seeking it. And when he finds it, he immediately recognizes that it has great value. So that's when he, in turn, sells all that he has so he can buy it. Rest assured, Jesus is not teaching us you can buy salvation. For Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We know that it is by grace, yes, by wonderful grace, we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. This parable then describes how some people react to the kingdom of heaven when they know there must be something out there that is of great value. They go searching for it, and they can't wait to find it. Let me give you some examples of individuals in the Bible who sought for the kingdom, and they found it. I was thinking about the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember that story over in Acts, the 8th chapter? Well, the eunuch was on his way to Jerusalem to worship. And the fact that he was reading the scriptures show he was searching. And Philip was told by the Holy Spirit, go join him and explain what he's reading. So Philip did as he was told. And he ran and caught up with him, and Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, how can I unless someone should show me or guide me? And then he asked Philip, come up and sit with me. The place of the scripture which he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Then Philip began to open the scriptures and preach to him Jesus. If you recall, his immediate desire was not only to accept Jesus as his Savior, but they passed a body of water, and he said, what desire was to be baptized. For he understood the value of the so great salvation that was offered through Jesus. And then there's Cornelius. Remember the story of that family? That's over in Acts 10. He was searching for righteousness, and God took note of his spiritual hunger and thirst, and he sent Peter to tell him the gospel story. Let me ask you, are you hungering and thirsting today and searching for something in your life? Your life seems so empty. Well, let me highly recommend the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Why don't you do it today? It's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.